there's no warmth. This old engine won't turn over. I feel lucky, I can see my breath.
The relationship between mother and daughter is complicated. Secrets, misunderstandings, the history, all these things play out in the new novel by Allison McGee. It's called Never Coming Back. Allison's best-selling novel, Shadow Baby, was a Today Show book club pick, and her picture book for adults, Someday, was a number one New York Times bestseller. She's won 4 Minnesota Book Awards. Allison McGee is back with us for a Real Good Words interview on KEXE KBXE. Allison, thanks for being here.
So happy to be here, Heidi. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I love when a writer brings back characters in later books. Not exactly sequels, but they're kind of more to the story that you find out. You've written
it. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, because I don't really want sequels exactly.
No.
You know, but when it's like, I don't know, it does something as a reader. It's like you suddenly remember some of the storylines, even though it's been a while since you read those stories. And it's I don't know. I don't know what it is about that. But so you've written about these characters before. Tamar and Clara Winter. Tell us about them and where they're at now in Never Coming Back.
Well, Clara and her mother, we last saw them 20 years earlier in their lives. And Clara is now 32. She's living in the panhandle of Florida. And she moves back north to the Adirondack Mountains to be closer to her mother, Tamar, who has just turned 50 and who has been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. And so theirs has always been a fiercely loving but troubled relationship. And Clara, I think, had always thought that she would have, or always just assumed that she would have decades to figure out her relationship with her mother, to come to some kind of peace with it, to know her mother as a human being instead of just her mother. But time is what they no longer have. Time is running out. And so those walls have to come down, and they have to come down now if these women are going to know each other as full human beings.
You know, there is a surprise right at the beginning. This was a surprise for me that, you know, Clara's going to move back because she knows this about her mom now. But her mom's already kind of made the plans for herself so that Clara doesn't have to do that. What happens there?
Well, these two women, mother and daughter, are, even if Clara doesn't think she's anything like her mother, they are so similar in some fundamental ways, just fiercely, fundamentally independent. And what Clara does not understand yet in the beginning of the book is just how much her mother will do to save Clara heartbreak and trouble. And so her mother, instead of remaining in the home that Clara grew up in and keeping all her routines, just moves herself into an assisted living facility without consulting Clara, without telling anyone. And it's a shock to Clara that her mother would do such a thing.
It's too bad because the way you describe it, her mother is doing it because of her fierce love for her daughter, but it's almost a slap in the face for Clara.
You know, and that's sort of analogous to so much of their relationship. Her mother would just do things and do them flatly and without talking about them, thinking that she was saving Tamar heartbreak and trouble, thinking that she was protecting her daughter. And some of these things would come as blows to Clara, and she couldn't understand them, and she felt them as almost assaults on her life. And it made me sad to write about it because I have a very close relationship with my mother, but I have seen so often just pain on both sides of a mother-daughter relationship, and not intentionally caused by either. And so I dove into that with this book.
I was so drawn to this idea of Clara having these questions, she thought she had all this time to be able to ask her mom, because her mom is very young. Is she 51 when she gets early onset Alzheimer's? I was just really struck by that, because I think we all sort of do that. I lost my mom a couple years ago, and I was very close to her, but there are all these like little basic questions that you have once you lose someone that you want to say, well, when did you live here? What, you know, these sorts of things to put that puzzle
together.
Or who's
the person in this picture who's looking at you with, that expression? And wait, when did we move to the house I grew up in? And just all these little things.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting way to tell that story, because she can, in some ways, when she visits her mother, ask her some of the questions, and sometimes she's present for those, and she can kind of get a little bit of the answer, sort of.
Well, with Alzheimer's, you know, everyone at a certain point becomes familiar with it. You see your older friends or your parents' friends, and there are days when the synapses seem to be firing, and the person is fully present, and then there's many days when they're in a different world. It's like a shadow world to this one. And so Clara becomes fixated on asking questions and hoping to get either an answer or a clue to some of the things that have always troubled her or been in the back of her mind about her mother. And so she visits her mother a couple of times a week, and she teaches herself. She tries to learn ways to communicate with her mother that will not either hurt her mother or stress her out or put pressure on her, but that will also be true communication.
We're talking with Allison McGee about her new novel. It's called Never Coming Back. Where Clara lives, because her mom has sold their family home, is really important to this storyline, or really interesting to me at least, especially the furniture that she has in this tiny little house. I'm so curious if you have furniture like this or where this idea came from.
Oh, Heidi, if only you knew. Clara lives in Old Forge, which is one of my favorite towns in the Adirondack Mountains in far upstate New York, where I grew up. And the town is true to life, except for the little tiny one-room house that she lives in I made up. But it's a cabin. It's a one-room cabin with a sleeping loft. Everything is miniature. There's no room for almost anything because it's just a 250-square-foot room. And that cabin is based on my own tiny house in Vermont. And when you're a person who loves books like Clara does, and maybe like I do, you will find ways to use books in innovative ways. So Clara has made her dining table out of books, and her box spring out of books, and a coffee table out of books, and a lamp stand out of books. And so she has turned her great love in life, which is books and writing, into literal, actual furniture.
Are you somebody, I think I have books in almost every room of my house.
There are books in every room of my house except the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yes, they are everywhere. And when a child moves out to go to college, I take over their bookshelves and I just keep putting more books in them. It's terrible. I'm not an acquisitive person except when it comes to books.
It's not so terrible. I think that's just fine.
Well, from one to another.
That's true. So Clara is so lucky in this story that she has these great friends that are really practically family. And, you know, we all hopefully have those sorts of people. Brown and Sunshine are those people for her. Who are they? How did they meet?
Brown and Sunshine are a married couple, and they are Clara's very best friends in the world. They truly are family to her. They are just the foundation that hold her up. No matter what she does, no matter where she is, no matter what she says, they know her so well. They see her clearly. They love her for exactly who she is. And they all met their freshman week of college. They all went to college in New Hampshire together, and they lived in the same dorm. And it was one of those just 18-year-olds staying up all night, getting to know each other, long conversations. And their friendship has never wavered from that point forward.
You know, this next question may be me reading too much into things, but I was really struck by how their last name, Winter, describes their relationship, because it's like you said, it's fierce, but there's also mm-hmm. something kind of quiet and kind of lonely about mm-hmm. these women. Am I reading too much into their name?
No, I don't think you're reading too much at all. Winter, you know, we Minnesotans have a lot in common with far upstate New Yorkers in that winter is the season that is half the year and blankets everything and quiets everything and makes everything slow. And we turn internal much of the time. It's dark and it's a time of thinking and reflecting and existing. And Clara and her mother have always had trouble communicating with each other. Clara throws questions at her mother. Her mother never answered them when she was a child. And she knows by the end of the book that the reason her mother didn't really answer is because many of the answers were hard and not easy answers. And it's always been just the two of them in this lonely but intensely devoted relationship. So I don't think you're reading too much into it at all.
Well, you know, we've talked many times over the years about your books, mm-hmm. whether it's the young adult books or your adult or your picture books. And yeah. You really have a way with names. And, you know, I read a lot. And so sometimes I can really, really like a book, but I don't always even remember the main character's name. I remember the story of it, but they just don't kind of resonate with the story. Are you lucky? Is it something you work at to find those names?
Oh, sometimes I do. I remember Clara and Tamar. I first wrote about them in my book, Shadow Baby, which was, I think, 18 years ago at this point. And Tamar came easily to me. I don't even know why. It's not a name that has any resonance in my own life. But Clara, she was a girl who searched and searched and searched for answers. She tried to shed light on dark questions. And Clara means clarity and light. And so it just felt like the perfect name for that girl. So that's, sometimes names just appear like that to me. Other times I have to write the book for a while before the name comes into my head.
Gosh, well, I think we could talk forever about this story, but what is up next for you? Are you more books for adults, young adults?
Well, I have a new novel for adults that will be published 2 years from now, and it too will be set in far upstate New York. But my next book is a really interesting and unusual novel for young adults. It's called What I Leave Behind, and it comes out next May.
You know, do the titles come easily to you as well?
No, they don't.
Okay.
And if only they did, my life would be easier. No, titles, I think of some writers have good title karma. I'm not one of them. I really work hard for titles.
Well, the new novel is called Never Coming Back. It's by Allison McGee. You can find out more information at her website, AllisonMcGee.com. Thanks, and we'll talk to you for your next books, Allison.
Thanks so much, Heidi.
I feel grateful.
Real Good Words is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.